No, so who are you?
So I am Dan Polivy. I'm a developer on the Windows Sideshow team, and well, I guess we're going to talk a little bit more about what Windows Sideshow is.
Last time I was here, I don't think it was called Sideshow, right? It was
It was
called.
probably called Auxiliary Displays.
Yeah.
I think you were here right at the time where that name transition was happening, right around PDC, and right at PDC we announced our name, Windows Sideshow,
Yeah.
which has since grown on us. I at least can't speak for the rest of the feature team, but. Yeah, so we are Windows
And who are you,
Sideshow.
since you're in the video too?
All right, I'm Sriram Vijay. I'm a program manager on Windows Sideshow.
Yeah, we saw you on the first Channel 9 video with the
Yeah,
Sideshow
Dan was
team.
on there as well. We
Yep.
had our architect Matt on there, so the three of us were there. Matt's not able to make it today, which he was. But yeah, we're here to tell you more about Windows Sideshow this time.
Ooh. And you went to the CES show in January?
I was at CES, yeah, and we had a bunch of cool new prototypes we showed off there, which I'll get to in a little bit.
Oh, cool.
But first, I think we should kind of jump back to what we showed last time we chatted and
Yeah.
kind of see where things have gone since then.
It looks a lot sexier.
Yeah.
Prototypes are
Yeah.
getting good, better looking,
Well, this is actually the same prototype we showed.
Really? I
Probably had a few less
don't
battle
remember
scars
seeing
on it.
that.
These things get more miles than probably your average road warrior.
Yeah.
But if you can zoom in on the display, so you see here we have our Windows Sideshow display embedded in the lid. This is one of our early prototypes, so it's got a little bit of a hump to the lid.
Yeah.
A real production model wouldn't have this hump. We just needed to engineer something to actually hold our really large development boards in there.
Yeah.
So this display is a 220 by 176 TFT, basically the same phone, same display you would find in a smartphone, or at least the previous generation of smartphones.
Yeah.
We've got a five-way D-pad, up, down, left, right, enter, and a context menu button.
Right.
So this is our kind of home screen. You can kind of scroll through. We only have a couple things here. Most of them are games. So what I'm actually going to do is go ahead and open up the lid. So.
Now, the screen there is running even without the laptop running,
Yeah,
right?
so this
So
display is powered by the battery here. It's got its own connection.
yeah.
So it doesn't actually require the PC to be up and running to actually work.
And so your hard drive's not spinning, your laptop display's not running, your main laptop processor isn't being used.
No.
It's its own self-contained little
Yep.
info nugget out there.
Exactly. I guess I should get back to the basics. So
Yep.
behind this little display, we have an ARM9 processor. It has its own RAM, its own flash, its own connection to the battery, and it's connected via USB to the main PC.
Ah,
So
okay.
that's how it does the communication back and forth.
Cool.
So this display can be powered when the PC's on, when the PC's off. It's only going to update information when the PC's on, of course, because the information comes from the PC.
Right.
But you're able to browse it at any time. So even when your PC's shut down and the lid's closed, you can go here and browse through that cached information.
Okay. Now that's interesting because I'm carrying around a smartphone now,
Yeah.
and I change my calendar on my smartphone a lot, you know, because like guys like you will say, "Hey, can we meet in an hour?"
Yeah.
I'll add the meeting. Will it update that display if the machine's not on?
It won't update immediately. We do have
Okay.
a feature called Auto Wake, which will let you wake the PC at a specified interval, and if it can connect to the network and do updates, then it'll trickle down to the device. So there is a feature like that. You could also potentially do an on-demand update from the device.
Okay.
Essentially, that means just force awake from the PC directly from here.
So
Interesting. Yeah, one of the things is that display relies on the richness of Windows to get its data. So the fact that we have a programming model built in Windows allowing different gadgets, we'll get into that later, to
Yeah.
send data to these devices. So they're not getting data directly off the air right now.
Yeah.
They're getting data from the Windows PC, and they're about as up to date as your Windows PC is at that point.
Right. Cool.
Cool. All right,
So what else is, so yeah, you were gonna show me
so I was
what
gonna
the inside of the
boot it
PC.
up here.
Ooh, it's running Vista
So
now.
this is running Vista.
I don't
Yeah.
think we were running Vista last time I saw this.
Probably not. So this is a relatively recent build of Vista, and one of the big features of the platform that's actually visible is the Windows Sideshow control panel. So if we go here into the control panel, if you have any Windows Sideshow devices present, then there'll be a link right up here on the home screen.
Make
Sure
sure
you
I
can
can zoom
zoom
all
get
the way in.
that. So it'll be right here under Hardware and Sound, is Windows Sideshow.
Yep.
So we can go ahead and click on that. And I already had it running, so it popped right up. So what you'll see in our control panel here is basically a list of gadgets and a list of devices.
Right.
At each intersection of a gadget and device, if they're compatible, then there'll be a checkbox. And it's up to the user to say, I want my information to be shown on each particular device. So for privacy concerns, we're not just going to go sending the user stuff every which way to any device which claims to be connected to the PC.
Right.
The user has to go and say, I want my calendar or I want my mail to appear on this device. And then they've explicitly opted in.
Right.
So what I've gone and done here is actually check the checkboxes. And what this does is it makes sure that the gadgets are running. And then if we go back to the device, we'll actually start to see the information trickling down.
Okay.
So let me close that lid.
Yep.
And hold this back up and zoom in. So now you can see we've got a whole bunch more icons available on the display. So this was the stuff we had before, all these games. But now we have Windows Mail, Weather, and Windows Media Player. Very cool. So you notice as I scrolled across each of these gadgets, there's some extra information that popped up at the bottom.
Yeah.
So in the case of weather here, we're showing the current weather in a bunch of different cities. This is what we call glance data. Now, glance data is basically just text information, very high level, coming from the gadget. And it's meant to be very portable.
Yeah.
So we show it at a very high level here. For example, if you have one of our text-only displays, this might be the only information you see.
Right.
But since we have a nice rich device here, we can actually drill down into the weather gadget and get some more information about each particular city. So we can see we have nice little icons, we have text, we have menus, we can scroll. And let's go in and look at the weather for Seattle.
Now, as a programmer, could I build my own gadget that did the same kind of thing?
Oh, you sure can. Yeah, all this is easily replicatable. Using our APIs, which Sri will get to in a little bit.
Okay.
Yeah,
will you show us how to build an app like that? Or?
Sure, I can show you how to build a small app like that. Yeah. Remember, I said program manager. But yeah, I can show
you. So he actually wrote the weather gadget.
I thought that just meant you take the credit for the team. And feed the rest of the devs
exactly.
The pizza. You know?
So the other dev I want to show is actually Windows Media Player.
Yeah.
The scenario here is actually a little different from some of the cache scenarios that we were talking about earlier. So in this case, we don't actually have media playback hardware directly in this PC, directly in this little device.
Right.
The media playback hardware is actually part of your PC.
Yeah.
So running the Windows Media Player gadget will require you to have your PC up and running.
Okay.
However, your display's turned off, so you are saving a fair amount of power.
Right.
But what we can
but
do
your hard drive is running.
Your hard drive is up. Yeah, Windows is running.
So you might.
That's still at about 60% of the power you'd typically be using. Your network might be turned off. Your display is turned off. So if that's a 3-hour battery life PC, it's going to last you 4.5 hours now. So that's a pretty substantial gain.
Okay.
Yeah. So anyways, it's basically remote control where you can go in here. We can browse through the media library.
Yeah.
You know, same way you would do it in Windows Media Player. And let's just go pick, how about this one? We'll just go here, click on the context menu, start playing, and then this basically sends commands back to the PC. So if you're writing a gadget, you can actually detect when certain buttons are pressed, and you can cause actions to occur. So if we'll be quiet for a minute, you can hear the music starting to come out of the speakers.
Yeah, barely. Okay.
Barely. You can see it's playing. We can pause it, changes the state. If there are multiple tracks in the playlist, you could go back and forth. Pick the current track that you're listening to, so on and so forth.
Right.
So that's roughly those gadgets we have here. The games, you know, these are built into the firmware. I'm not going to show those to you. They're not that exciting.
Okay.
So let's move on to some of
our
newer prototypes. No, we just have columns and reversi right now.
Okay.
But you know, it will take requests. Maybe we can squeeze something out for it.
Everybody needs solitaire.
I know. Microsoft has built that into every OS.
Yeah. So the next prototype I guess I want to show off here is another unit made by ASUS.
Okay.
We originally showed this at CES, and the concept's very similar. So you see the display here looks almost exactly the same. We've got a bunch of gadgets. You'll notice they're a little smaller, so this is a QVGA display at 320 by 240. And the nice thing about this unit is that it's detachable. So you can actually pull it out, take it with you. And it's got self-contained battery, so it's obviously powered when it's detached.
Right.
And it has flash memory, so it can do media playback. This is made by one of our partners, Portal Player, and they have integrated media playback capabilities into their Sideshow implementation.
Wow, that's cool.
So you can take this device on the go, you get your calendar, your email, your weather, but you also
Portal
have
Player,
your music
Portal
and
Portal Player makes a chip for a famous other media device,
so
a white one.
Yeah.
I know.
I heard that same rumor. So this is just a little prototype of that here.
Yeah.
This doesn't actually connect to the PC. The PC itself here is kind of a brick.
Okay.
But the connection would be via USB. And you see we have a little mini USB cable there and a headphone jack.
Yeah.
So that's it would cool. be connected when it's docked, and it would be updating, and then you take it away, and it would no longer update.
That's right.
But, you know, in the future, this could be Bluetooth or wireless or some other connection there.
And is that module updatable then? Let's say you guys come out with 2.0.
Firmware.
And it comes with Solitaire.
We're working on that.
All right.
Yeah.
Cool. So,
that's about all for the detachable display. Do you want me to hand it over to you now? Or?
Do you want to show them what's cool? That's really cool stuff. I think.
All right. So, how much price is that going to add to the laptop? That looks like a $300 to $500 ad because I know how much my cell phone costs to make.
Yeah, that's a good question. It's really ultimately up to the OEM to decide how much more they're going to charge.
Yeah.
The hardware cost for that specific unit, I don't have exact details, but it's going to be more than the Inlid unit. Simply because you have to have the casing and the battery and the flash memory. The Inlid display, we've targeted a BOM of about $20 to $25.
Yeah.
So that would be the cost of the equipment to actually integrate that into the lid. So that is without the media playback capabilities and additional batteries. So
yeah, the cost of the detachable display is, I guess, very dependent on how much memory they decide to put in there, if it's media playback capable. The displays are pretty much the most pricey thing in the Inlid display. They cost like between $18 to $20, $25, some of them.
Right.
So the rest of the hardware is not that high end, so it's reasonably low cost. So it really does depend on what parts the manufacturer picks, but the cost of goods for the Inlid, we're saying somewhere between $25 and $30, $35.
Yeah, which turns into retail, it's usually 3 to 4 times as much.
You would say about, three times a multiplier.
So $150.
There's a lot of different factors that play into pricing because it's a new product, so we're not exactly sure how they're going to end up being priced in the market.
Yeah.
We're hoping it'll be as competitive as possible.
Yeah. I just used to work for a hardware company and know how to sort out how they price things out because there's obviously overhead and R&D costs that aren't included in the BOM,
tooling costs,
and all that fun stuff.
Yeah.
Very cool.
All right. So shall we move on to a different topic?
Yeah.
I have another couple of cool devices in my lap right now. Both of these were also things that we showed off at CES. And they are, completely different from the laptop scenarios.
Yep.
So in case you didn't guess, this is a remote control.
I tell?
It has a nice large display in here. I don't know if you can get a good shot of that. So what we've done, actually our partner Portal Player has integrated their hardware into this remote control. And we've rewritten our shell, so rather than have the icons as it does on the laptop, we have more of a media center kind of centric UI.
Yeah.
So I'm using the buttons here to navigate through, and you can see we have various configurations, but television is something that you might expect on a remote control. So let's go over here to the TV guide. And one of the nice features is that you could get a list of all the shows that are currently on TV. You could, browse ahead a few hours. You could look at all the stuff that's recorded on your media center.
Yeah.
And you could actually select that stuff to watch or get more information or record. Basically doing all the kind of things that would require an overlay on your TV directly on your remote control.
Now, I'm playing with a couple of non-Microsoft remote, specialized home AV remotes that they sent me to play with.
Yep.
And they're really frustrating to set up.
First
of all, they didn't have the Xbox 360 in the online
the
choice,
list.
So
yeah.
I can't even use it with my Xbox because it doesn't even know that it exists. And also, my Comcast box, my PVR, it didn't have that in there. And that's my number one remote, fast-forwarding through commercials and stuff like that is my number one use of the remote now.
Mm-hmm.
Is this going to be, have you really thought this out as a full thing that Microsoft might sell someday, or are you just showing this as a proof of concept that somebody else will have to do the hard work and make sure it really is awesome from that kind of scenario?
Yeah, the configuration aspect is something I would agree is difficult, and that's a little bit outside the scope of what we're doing right now.
Okay.
Our focus is primarily in getting information from the PC and using the richness of the PC to make your information available to you in more places and to make that more useful.
Yeah.
So we're basically proxying data from the PC to the remote.
Okay.
It's less about configuring the remote and more about kind of you know, getting, say, TV Guide information or the synopsis of the shows directly on here.
Yeah,
or getting
but a your remote email like this is really cool if it could replace all my remotes and have the guide on it and everything like that.
Yeah, so, yeah, Microsoft makes some good hardware, but we're not the best hardware company out there. There's a lot of partners out there who probably do a good job with this. So,
So your team is actually showing off the concept of building a screen into a remote.
You're not
building the remote. Somebody else will have to take your screen and your thinking and actually make it into a full product.
Right? Exactly. Got it. And I fully expect those to be universal. Yep. But again, it's up to the manufacturer and how they decide to implement it.
Yep.
But I mean, it's hard to build a special purpose remote control that has all this feature and not have it support all these additional devices. Because you know, if you have a media center, you probably also have a receiver and game console and DVD player, and you want that all to work with a single remote.
So,
in addition to TV Guide, you can control music playback the same way you could on the lid. The nice benefit there is that you don't even have to turn on the TV if you didn't want to. So if you were, just wanted to pick a song through your PC or your media center and have it go through your speakers, you could do that. And of course, you could always get the same gadget information you would. So for example, your mail, you can go in here and browse and, look at some sample mails in the inbox.
Now, so what's the piece that Microsoft did here, or what your team did here, the software that runs the display?
Yeah, so this is actually just in the prototype phases.
Mm-hmm.
We built the shell, so the code that's running on here, that is a mock-up, but this essentially would tie into our platform.
Yeah.
So either we would write the firmware, or someone else would write the firmware that runs on the remote control, and when it's connected to the network or the PC, it would talk to our platform to get all this information.
So would it hook into, let's say, my media center through Wi-Fi or something like that? How would it talk?
We're still investigating protocols. Yeah. There's a couple of options there. One is a lot of these remote controls, this use IR these days, a two-way IR might be one way of communicating. Bluetooth is something we're still investigating. So the thing is, like, Wi-Fi is a little high-end, pretty power-intensive, so it might not be a Wi-Fi remote. It might be Bluetooth or IR, two-way IR based. So the thing about the Windows Sideshow platform is that we don't really rely on one specific protocol for these devices to connect.
Yeah.
Each manufacturer can take their own device, decide how they want to talk to the PC. They could engineer their own protocol if they wanted. And the fact is that any gadget that's running on the PC doesn't have to deal with that.
Yeah.
The gadget that the developer or the ISV writes is pretty much separated from the communication protocol from the device itself.
Right.
So the weather gadget or the media player gadget you've seen there could still run on this remote control if it's supported Sideshow.
Yeah.
So that's the goal of the platform, is that we're trying to encourage device manufacturers to use the richness of the PC and get more data from it without having to tie them down to one specific device OS or communication protocol.
Yeah, that's pretty cool stuff. It's, the home is going through a metamorphosis. I just got a Sonos system that lets me do Wi-Fi.
Oh, yeah.
And it comes with its own remote, big old remote.
Uh-huh.
I'm playing with a Philips Universal remote, and the Sonos is actually pretty cool, but the Philips is not there yet. Because it doesn't look at all the devices that I have, the newest devices.
Is the Sonos the one with the display in the remote?
Yeah.
That's really
and
cool.
you can buy modules for every room in your house, and you can play from your computer, internet radio or MP3s or standard old music, from one room to the other wirelessly. It's really cool. But having remotes like this is going to make so much, because I have 5 remotes sitting on my coffee table, and it's just ugly. It doesn't, And now that I'm going to get I have a media center with an Xbox, and my system is my home is starting to work together as a unit. Having a remote like this and letting me choose rooms and choose various things that I want to see on my displays.
Yeah,
it's going to be a big deal, I think.
So we're talking about remote controls and connecting over
protocols. So
that's probably a good segue into this little prototype we have down here. I'll make this up so you can. So this is basically a pocket PC.
Yep.
Which is it's a total prototype right now. We're still working on this. Our architect Matt, who couldn't make it today, wrote this up over the last couple of weeks. And basically it's connected to my desktop PC right here.
Okay.
Which is kind of a screensaver. So let me just get this out and show you a couple of cool things you can do with that.
Okay. Let me just sneak by here.
So if you look at the list of gadgets here, it's running the same weather gadget that was on the laptop lid display. So this is showing that any gadget that's written...
Can you tilt it this way a little bit? Uh-huh. Ah, much better.
So the gadgets that are written for the different displays work on pretty much all devices. It's a simple XML format that's sent down. So I can go in and get the same kind of information that I had from the other device. So navigating back, the cool thing with the Pocket PC is it's wirelessly connected to my PC right now.
Yeah.
And I can do a lot of cool things while away from my PC. So one is going to be this PowerPoint remote control. So going in there, I basically have one PowerPoint presentation running on the desktop, and it's just sitting there with the file open.
Yep.
So I'm going to select that presentation and start it. And on the PC, you can see the presentation has started up.
Okay.
I can control the slides right from here. I can get a little preview of the slides on the Pocket PC. So I could basically have this PC sitting anywhere in the room, in the conference room, and I could be presenting while walking around, going between slides. So,
oh, that's cool.
Yeah, one of the cool things about... So
next year at CES, Bill Gates is going to have that in his hand, right?
I hope so. I hope
we're going to try it out first at MEDC and WinHack, and if it works, then we'll see about that.
All right.
Yeah, feel free to heckle us if it doesn't.
And the same thing, I have media player hooked up to this, so I can control my media playback. And once we get the remote control concepts a little further along, if we get Media Center working between the PC and these devices, maybe I can control my home.
Now that's using Wi-Fi, right?
This is using Bluetooth right now.
Oh, and it's using Bluetooth.
Yeah.
Interesting. How far does Bluetooth go?
It depends.
30 feet.
I've seen advertisements saying anywhere between 30 and 100 feet. So hopefully within... Yeah, within the house maybe, but definitely within the room.
Yeah, I'm wondering because in my media center is going to be one floor above me.
Mm-hmm.
It's you know only 8 feet above me, but there's a floor there. So
that's what's in there.
Yeah, well it's just wood and plasterboard floor, so I would expect it to work, but that would be killer because now I could that's the sort of getting closer to the scenario where I can control a lot of different things in the house.
And, yeah, it's a pretty big display surface, so you have a rich enough interface maybe to control different things there.
And are you looking at home automation at all? Because at CES, I saw all sorts of new lights and doorbells and alarms and other things that talk to the PC through, you know, wireless technology. So if somebody rings the doorbell, it could show up on your little device, hey, there's somebody at the door, you want to talk to them. You could even have, you know, voice, hey, who's there? You know?
Right, that's something we haven't specified.
You're a Jehovah's Witness? Yeah. I'm not answering the door. You know? Or whatever.
It's probably something that's within the realm of the platform. I'm not saying we haven't actually looked at that specific problem or we haven't targeted it.
Okay.
But from the fact that, I mean, we're connection agnostic and you can write these gadgets that pretty much talk to different devices, it's probably something that could be done. I'm not saying it's going to happen out of the box or it's going to be easy to do.
No, but you can start. What I'm trying to get at is that developers on outside of Microsoft
absolutely.
Should be watching this for business opportunities.
Absolutely.
It's like, hey, I could take that and put it into something else and start making a new product or a new kind
of service. If you have a device that connects to the PC, and especially if you have a device that has a display surface on it, this is definitely a good technology to be looking at if you're a device manufacturer.
Okay.
Yeah.
So what is your goal of your team? What is your goal, to do cool things that OEMs will stick in other devices, or is it, you know?
So there's there's kind of two goals. One, you want to talk some of that?
Sure.
On the spot.
Be happy to. Well, I think there are a couple of different goals that we have. One of them is to extend access to your PC in more places, more settings, more devices. We originally started out thinking about the laptop scenario, and when the lid is closed, well, it's pretty much useless. And if you want to get access to anything, it's going to take you a minute to boot up, you know, three-fingered salute to log in, got to load your application, find that information, and it's really cumbersome, and that's one of the frequent complaints we get about mobile PC usage is that it's, you know, it takes too long to boot up. We don't have instant on. My PC is not usable. It doesn't last throughout the entire day.
Yeah.
So when we started thinking about the laptop scenarios, having access to that information directly on the lid made a lot of sense.
Yeah.
It was very low power, so your battery could last the entire day because you didn't need to have it running all the time.
Yeah.
A lot of that information was easily accessible directly on the lid, and it basically made that PC more valuable. You would carry it with you more often because, you know, you could get the things you needed without having to, you know, resort to opening it up and looking on different devices.
Right.
So kind of coming out of that, we found a lot of opportunity for extending onto other devices. So cell phones, for example, the Pocket PC example we just showed there. And then when we looked at our platform, we realized that, hey, it's pretty generic. So we can control remote controls. We could do these media center scenarios. We could power just the picture frame sitting on your desk. Or it could be the front panel of a server or the front panel of a media center, right? A little display in your drive bay that would tell you your, you know, CPU utilization or whether your PC had crashed, whether it was awake. So for maintenance kind of stuff.
Yeah.
So, you know, we don't really care about the connection protocol or the data to some extent. It's very open. So we have this platform, and now we're looking at different ways to apply that elsewhere.
Interesting.
But ultimately, it comes back to kind of making the PC be more useful to you in different scenarios.
Yeah.
If you're sitting on your couch and you want to check your email, well, you got to get up, go to your PC, you know, wiggle the mouse to get the screensaver to go off, and then see if you have anything new. Well, if you could just check on your remote control, oh, I have a new email. Okay, now I'm going to go to my computer. You could probably save yourselves a few trips back and forth during commercials or whatnot.
Yeah.
So I think that's one of the cool, I guess, motivators for our team.
Yeah.
Another one is
an interesting scenario there is I just got this Xbox, and so now all my friends are adding me and wanting to play with me.
Yeah.
And I don't see those messages until I turn on the Xbox or I go with my laptop to Xbox.com or the live service and see all my requests.
Yeah.
It'd be real interesting on the remote to say, hey, you just got a friend just came online, he wants to play with you. Yep. Turn on your Xbox. You know?
Certainly in the realm of possibility, right?
Interesting.
You have a gadget listening to the site, and it could just forward notifications to your device. So it's things like that, right? So people have ideas and say, oh, well, you know, you could do that. And we say, oh, yeah, sure, we could do that, no problem. So it's kind of a natural extension of that initial stuff we've done.
Okay.
Another nice thing is that it's a unique hardware feature for Vista. So, you know, Vista is great, lots of new stuff in the operating system, but the hardware, you know, it's pretty much the same. The laptop design hasn't changed very much, aside from, you know, tablet and other form factors. So if you have this display now, that's something that says, hey, this is a new laptop. It runs Vista really well, and it's got all these cool new features.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of business opportunity there for our partners.
Yeah.
To differentiate.
Yeah, and that's going to be important. I'm buying a laptop right now. It's really hard to tell the difference between any of the different, you know, the Sony, the Dell, the IBM, or Lenovo now,
mm-hmm.
you know, the Toshiba, the Acer. Yeah. You know, it's hard to tell what's better about one, and adding some new features is going to be really important. So, yeah.
So
anything else you guys are doing? You want to show me how to build an app, right?
Sure. Let me show you how to build a little gadget. So we've talked a lot about devices, hardware. That's one portion of our platform. The other portion is taking these gadgets that send data to the PC and building a rich ecosystem where our partners, independent developers, can go ahead and use our platform to send data to these devices.
Right.
When
you say gadgets, are you talking about the gadgets that go onto live.com go onto the sidebar in Windows Vista?
So we're classified in the same set of... when you say gadgets, yes, we are classified similar to Windows Live gadgets, similar to Windows sidebar gadgets.
Yeah.
There is a little disparity in the technologies that go into the platforms.
Okay.
So right now, you cannot take a Windows Live gadget and have it just work with Windows Sideshow.
Got it.
You cannot take a Windows Sidebar gadget and have it just work with Windows
Sideshow.
So you're
like a superset of live.com gadgets, right? You use a similar technology to get onto the toolbar. But your technology
right now,
needs to be available?
Right now, I would say there's very little underlying technological similarity.
Okay.
It's just the terminology that's the same. The goal is the same.
Okay.
So the goal of a gadget is to get instant access to data somewhere.
Okay.
So if you take Windows Live, it's basically you go to any PC, and you can go to your Windows Live site, and you get that data that you customize that site for.
Okay.
So
on my Windows Vista main screen, like the one you have behind you,
mm-hmm.
what does your gadget look like compared to a live.com gadget?
So if you look at a Windows Sideshow gadget, you'll never see it on the screen. Oh. So the point of a Windows Sideshow gadget is it takes data and sends it to devices.
Okay.
Right? So you would never see a Windows Sideshow gadget actually running on the screen. And the control panel that Dan showed you is the only place you'd ever be exposed to that gadget.
Ah. So as a developer, I couldn't build something that would show the same data on my sidebar as on my Sideshow?
So you could, and I'll get into that a little bit.
All right.
Right, so there's a little bit of a different messaging there. So there's two aspects to our platform. One is we've got these native APIs in Windows Vista.
Okay.
There are C++ COM APIs. We're going to have some kind of like sample to help you do it with C# managed code. But the APIs are built into Vista, so you can write any little application that runs in the background that keeps updating these devices with data.
Right.
So if you take the Windows Media Player gadget or the weather gadget we've written right now, that's basically a little mini application that's running in the background, constantly updating these devices with data.
Yep.
And
when you say in the background, it's running in
the main
processor in the background, and it's updating the ARM processor with data.
Yeah, so basically it's sending data through these APIs,
got it.
And the APIs take care of sending it to my pocket PC.
It's a little confusing, because it's actually like, now a laptop has two separate machines on the laptop. You know, one little, it's almost like what are those little fish that sort of attach themselves to a shark and sort of swim along?
Oh, yeah.
But you know what I'm talking about. A little little fish there that lives off the bigger fish. And
so, yeah, essentially think of Windows Sideshow, the devices themselves, as just display surfaces. And they're getting some kind of XML data that they can show. Gadget runs on the PC. And all the gadget does is send out XML data through our APIs. It doesn't care where it's going. It doesn't care about the devices. So my weather gadget is running on this PC right now. And it's calling through to the Windows Sideshow APIs, sending down a simple XML format, and whichever devices happen to be connected get that data.
Got it.
So the question you asked about having a sidebar gadget also send data down, that's actually possible. So you can write a single gadget that runs in the Windows sidebar.
Yeah.
We've exposed our APIs not only through COM and C++, but also through the sidebar.
Okay.
So you could have your same weather gadget that's running in the sidebar, or maybe it's a traffic gadget, maybe it's your picture slideshow, and it can send that same data down through the APIs to devices.
Interesting.
So you take the picture slideshow gadget, start running it on the sidebar, and voila, you'll get a little balloon notification saying, oh yeah, you can add this gadget now to your devices.
Got it.
So at that point, you can add it to your pocket PC, you can add it to your laptop inlet display. I would show that to you, except I haven't quite got all that set up on my machine right now.
Right.
It's pretty cool, actually, having the same gadget on the sidebar sending data to devices.
Okay.
I can show you, however, how to write a simple, maybe C# gadget.
Okay.
If
that'd be
you
cool.
have time for that.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Did you show off your little
laptop
here?
So if you look at this display here, it's kind of duct taped to my monitor, but it's a little three-line text display.
Yeah.
One of the things we had said is we really don't care what devices are connected to the PC in Windows Sideshow. So this is actually a USB-connected three-line text display. And this is actually showing data from the same gadgets. Windows Media Player, showing me which track, it's paused right now, but which track is playing.
Yeah.
Weather data from that same gadget. And my next meeting, which is the one we're having right now.
Yep.
So I have all that data available on this little three-line text display. We prototyped a little driver in-house to send down just basic text to these displays. So you can have a wide variety of devices. This is probably going to cost a device manufacturer something like $3 to $4 because it's basically a black and white text display and very little hardware to actually power that. So it's not a very expensive
So
platform.
Somebody could make a display like that that plugs into your USB port?
Plugs into USB, you could have it sitting on your desk somewhere, it could be attached to your monitor, so a wide variety of displays.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Are you ever going to see jewelry or get the display small enough that you could make something like jewelry or something that you could hang on yourself?
Would you wear one?
I'm pretty geeky, so I'm not the right guy to ask.
I know.
But I've seen people at conferences do all sorts of weird things. You know, I mean, there's people who put RFID chips in their hands now. You know, I mean,
mm-hmm.
so there is, enough freaks out there to maybe buy 15 of these things.
I mean, you know, my answer would be, you know, pretty much the same answer to anything else is, sure, you know, you can do that. Our platform's open to that. You write a driver, and off you go. You get that same information. You can display as much or as little as you want.
Yeah.
And, you know, you get a small little flexible display that doesn't require a lot of power. Sure, you know, put on a necklace or a keychain or something.
So as more display technologies come out, your team is ready to put stuff on them, right?
Yeah. I mean, this is kind of where we're looking for other people to kind of step up and say, hey, you know, I have this cool display technology or device or something. You know, I want it to work better with Windows, so let me, you know, make it Windows Sideshow compatible. And then all of a sudden, this whole flood of gadgets just starts working on that display.
Interesting.
So this one, the one up there is actually a bitmap display, and the bulk of the work happens on the PC. So in the driver, we get all that information, all that text, that glance data, and we just render it into bitmaps and then send those bitmaps to the display. So the display itself is really dumb. It's got a few buttons, you know, and you can see Sri was navigating back and forth through the data. But the button, you know, goes to the driver, and the driver just sends a new bitmap. So there are some differences there, right? That'll only work when your computer's on. It won't really be available when your computer's off.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, from a cost perspective, that's a great way to get some basic information that currently, again, you'd have to, you know, wiggle the mouse to get past your screensaver or unlock it or whatnot.
Well, and it also gives you, it keeps some of the stuff that's going on in your life off your main screen and off your work surface. You know?
Yeah, so all the, you know, system.
I mean, why do you need a weather app to take up, you know, pixels on your screen and bother you? You know, just put it up there. I don't need to see it all the time. So. Yeah. Interesting.
So the next thing is, let's just go through quickly writing a gadget. We have APIs in Windows Vista, like I was saying, but for people who are trying to write gadgets in Beta 2, there's not going to be a whole lot of hardware out there. So what we've done is we've provided a simulator. You've seen the laptop inlet display. We've already shown that to you in the video.
Yeah.
It's very similar to that, and it's running on my screen right here.
Okay.
So if you look at the display, it's almost identical to what the laptop display looks like. I have the Media Player gadget, and I can go in, control songs on my PC. And what you need to think about is, this is exactly like the device, so it's connected through some mechanism and shows up as a Windows Sideshow device to the PC.
Yeah.
So if I go into the control panel, I can see I have three devices connected. One is the Pocket PC, one is the display on the top, and one is this display right here on my screen, which is the simulator.
Right.
So I can choose which gadgets I want to run on my simulator from the control panel right here.
Yeah.
I can go through and say, I want to stop running. Oh, that's the wrong one. This one right here. I want to stop running Media Player, and that gadget goes away or comes back instantly as I check that checkbox. And it's a different place. But yeah, that's the Media Player gadget right there. So people are writing.
Can you get rid of it again?
Yeah, I can get rid of that. And there it's gone.
Okay.
So it's exactly like a device. It's there for our ISVs, for developers to play with in Beta 2. It'll be part of the Windows SDK.
Now, if I make a new gadget for the Sideshow, how do I deploy it? What is it? Is it a C++ executable? Is it a XML file? What is it that gets moved over to the device?
It's an application. Well, so your gadget itself is an application. It is typically written in C++ or C#, talking to our COM APIs.
Okay.
It could be part of an existing application, so it could be, for example, built into Outlook, or it could be a standalone app that runs in the background.
Right.
When you ask kind of what goes down to the device, that's pretty much metadata to start, so the icon, you know, the friendly name. We send kind of the overall metadata for the gadget down to the device. And then the rest of the stuff that's sent is really dependent on your gadget.
Okay.
So when your gadget's talking to the APIs.
So you're somewhat limited to the style of the gadget that can be put on the device, right?
Yeah.
I can't put Flight Simulator or
whatever. So the gadgets, at least for this purpose, for using our XML content format, are fairly constrained in terms of what they can do.
Okay.
But as Sri will show you, that the XML is actually pretty rich. I mean, all the stuff we've shown so far has all been done with our XML format, so the images and the text and
all
that.
One of the great things about the XML is it works from anywhere from this color display down to that three-line text display. So it scales very well between devices. That is one of the goals, is that it can work on really simple devices as well as slightly richer devices. So, all right, so if you quickly look here, I'm going to uncheck all the gadgets except this one managed code sample that I've been hacking away at for a little bit now.
Okay.
And if you look at the device, that's the only gadget that's running there right now.
Okay.
So I'm going to show you how I wrote that one. Let's get rid of that. Let's see. Oh, it's taking a little while to respond there.
Perfect.
All right. And so this is nothing but a simple C-sharp application. It's an application that creates a form and kind of runs in the background.
Yeah.
It's constantly running and pulling data from some source and updating it on the device. Okay. So for this purpose, maybe I'm just gonna make this gadget send the time like every second or so.
Okay.
So I have a little update interval here for the gadget. So I'm going to make that into, say, 5-second updates. And what it's going to do is basically send the time down as the glance content.
Right.
Right? So every 5 seconds, this gadget is going to update by sending some kind of simple XML to the device.
Right.
So when I run this gadget, is it already running? It compiles a little executable, which runs in the background. There will be no UI that shows up on the PC at all.
Okay.
But what happens is, it knows that it's enabled on the device. So when it talks through our platform APIs, it can basically send the XML content down, and any device that's running picks up that XML and starts updating its display.
Right. What happens if you run this on a device that there is no Sideshow device?
So if you run it on something that there is no Sideshow device, it's simply going to pass the data through and it'll get stubbed out there. It's not going to get sent anywhere. Okay. It'll pretty much just be running without doing anything.
Okay.
One of the cool things we have is that we have a way for gadgets to automatically start up when a device is connected or when they're first enabled for a device. So we encourage gadget writers to plug into that, basically saying that I'm going to have this code on the PC and I'm not going to run unless I'm required to run.
Right.
So either when a device connects or when the user first says, I want to see this kind of information on my device, then we call into the gadget and basically say, oh, the user has requested this data and please start running now. So it's basically to make sure that there's no unnecessary code running on the PC. It's to make sure that we can manage the gadgets more accurately.
Right. Is there any limit to the I guess the resolution on the screens is different depending on the device that you have. Is there a set number of instance, if I was an OEM and I wanted to make a display for my store or for storefronts or something like that, that would have... Do I have to stick with a set number of pixels and all that fun stuff?
If you want to run our firmware, we are going to support 320 by 240, which is QVGA.
Yeah.
And then I believe we had talked about 220 by 176, which is kind of the first prototype I showed you.
Yeah.
We're pretty limited there simply because it's hard to get it up and running on additional displays and display hardwares. And also those are the most common ones available right now.
Okay.
If you don't run our firmware, then it's really up to you. You could
do OLED display,
you could
up
do a bitmap display like that.
Oh, really? So I could have a bitmap display on
a you could
like
have
a
gigantic
one.
I mean, you could use a TV. You could use any display surface. As long as you implement the driver and know how to address your display surface, you can use it any way you wish, so to speak.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Because signage is a big deal. Cause if I have a Windows Vista machine sitting in my store, why don't I buy a sign that Windows Vista can control, and I can type new messages to the storefront. Come in today and get $20 off of my new camera.
Do the ad gadget, right?
Yeah. That's one people are not not going to turn on. So this gadget is now running in the background. Every 5 seconds, it's sending that updated content. Yeah. And if you look at this little simulator,
That's could I have a Starbucks gadget that as I walk around, it sends? Well, the machine internally would have to be on and talking to Wi-Fi.
Yeah, you'd have to subscribe beforehand.
Yeah,
but you could. Right, you'd envision saying subscribing to certain feeds, you know, similar way you subscribe to RSS feeds, and you would get those, and maybe you'd have it cached in your phone, and you would take it into.
Well, there's a bunch of kids down in Silicon Valley who are building a system for triangulating in on cell phone towers, so they're mapping or not cell phone Wi-Fi towers.
Mm-hmm.
So if they know the locations of all the Wi-Fi towers, like in San Francisco, and a competitor of ours is going to have that one figured out, right? But let's say Google is going to have Wi-Fi in San Francisco. They know the location of each cell phone tower. So as you're walking around with a Wi-Fi device, it knows within 100 feet of where you are. Well, Starbucks could say, hey, would you like to add this thing? And we'll give you discounts as you walk around the street. And you look down at your laptop and says, hey, come in for $1 off the latte. You know, I'll add that gadget in a minute because I'm getting discounts and I'm getting cool stuff and come in right now and da-da-da.
Yeah,
that's why we have the control panel, so you can always turn it off.
But that's an interesting scenario for a developer to be working on a Web 2.0 style.
Oh, absolutely. If you have location awareness and if you can get some compelling gadgets that work with that location awareness, that's a great way to do it. It's an easy way for the user to get that information from their laptop.
Okay.
So, absolutely.
Interesting. Okay, keep going. Sorry.
Well, it's not what I want to see. Actually, so, basically, the little gadget is updating data and it's not going to be that sexy right now. So, you can see that it's basically showing the time down there and it's showing when it was last updated.
Yep.
So I'm actually sending that data down as simple text to this device. And I've also enabled the same gadget on my text display up there. Yep. So you can see the same data showing up on both the display as well as the simulator. So if you're interested in playing with Windows Sideshow, grab the SDK for Beta 2.
Do you guys have a web page or a blog where you can download all this stuff?
We have a team blog. It's blogs.msdn.com/sideshow. We also are trying to get more web content out there. We'll probably get some content on the MicrosoftGadgets.com website.
Okay.
We'll definitely get content out there for people to figure out how to get started with this thing. But the first step would be to get Windows Vista Beta 2, get the SDK along with that, and you're pretty much good to go. We also have a forum, so if people have questions, you can go to the MicrosoftGadgets.com website. We have the Sideshow Gadgets forum there. So
Very
if you have any questions, they can post them there. We'll be on at MEDC, so if any of you are making it down to MEDC, we'll be happy to see you there, talk to you about Windows Sideshow. So.
Very cool. Well, thanks for spending a little bit of time showing me the latest stuff.
Thanks for coming by. Yeah, it was great. Yeah.
Cool stuff. Lots of ideas percolating in my head.
We've had a lot of questions about the platform, blog posts, people wondering what's going on. So actually, this is great for us to get some information out there, tell people what we're up to, and basically give them information and encourage them to build stuff.
Sounds good.
Yeah.
Thank you very much.
Thanks a lot.